Pat told me this morning that there were the last four messages didn't record on this, so it may be wearing out. It may just be wearing out. May have to get us another one. But those come in handy. We record this, and he puts it on the computer some way, and people all over the United States can hear it, can hear the messages that we preach here. Can you imagine that? I've got kinfolks down in Mississippi can hear me preach on Sunday. Oh, that's a miracle, isn't it? It really is. Anyway, let me take a few minutes of your time tonight and share the Word of God with you. From Mark chapter 5. I want to read the first 20 verses of this, if I may. And they came over under the other side of the sea, that's the Sea of Galilee, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, that's Jesus, was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, must have been a big cemetery around there somewhere, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Ooh, he was wild. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Fine. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." That doesn't sound like a wild man, does it? Let's see. "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy?" Jesus asked this man, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, that's just the first part of this chapter. That fifth chapter of Mark has been called the chapter of incurables, because it records three seemingly hopeless and impossible situations that Jesus faced and conquered. First of all, we have here that we've read about this demon-possessed maniac who ran around scared everybody. How would you like it if somebody like that came running across your front lawn at 2 o'clock in the morning, naked and howling like a wolf? Wow. You'd call the cops. Then we have a woman with an incurable disease that comes up in here, this chapter. She had an issue of blood. The doctors had been treating her for 12 years. She spent all the money she had on doctors and she wasn't healed. She just steadily grew worse. And the third one is a little 12-year-old girl, the daughter of Jairus, who was the headmaster of the synagogue there. And she died from some mysterious malady. So in this chapter, Jesus faces demons and disease and death all in one chapter, and he conquers every one of them. I try to bring that down here to 2012 and ask, well, how would we deal with something like this today? Well, if we had a demon-possessed maniac running around like this guy, we'd put him in an insane asylum because he's crazy as a bedbug. And we got this one with an issue of blood. We'd take her to the nearest hospital and put her in ICU. And the little girl that died, what do we do about her? Well, we'd take her out to the cemetery and bury her, wouldn't we? That's what you do with dead people when they die. But what our society cannot do, Jesus can. Amen. And he did. To this demon-possessed man, he became the great psychiatrist and delivered him from that oppression and tyranny of Satan. To that woman with the issue of blood, he became the great physician, and he found a cure for her that the doctors had missed. And to the little girl, he became the great pediatrician, and he raised her to life again. So whether it was demons or disease or death, Jesus had the power over them all, and he still has that power today.
Amen.
Now consider this. Jesus had just crossed over the Sea of Galilee with his disciples to this land of the Gadarenes. That's down on the southeast end of the Sea of Galilee. And immediately, as soon as his boat pulled up to shore and he got out of it, he was met by this man. What does the Bible say? Out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. Well, that's a pretty good welcoming committee, isn't it? A committee of one. Now, this man had a bad reputation. He couldn't be tamed. Think about that. All of his neighbors around there would catch him every once in a while, and they'd bind him with fetters and with chains. And he would just break them like they were threads. Man, he had strength, didn't he? Then he'd run back out there among the tombs in the cemetery where he lived. Night and day, it said, you could find him there, in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting his flesh with sharp rocks. What a pathetic sight. He was crazy, wasn't he? We call him crazy. He's out of his mind. But bless his heart, from wherever he was there in the land of the Gadarenes, he looked out across the Sea of Galilee and he saw this boat coming with Jesus in it. He was the first one to greet him when he climbed out of the boat, set foot on land. But wait just a minute. There is an evil spirit that is in control of this man. There was no restraining his corrupting influence in this man's life. The most vile creature imaginable had entered into him and was tormenting his soul, taken over his body. That evil spirit controlled his actions, everything he did. And it even controlled the words that he spoke. So the man didn't even have a voice in this thing. It was the demon in the man, the evil spirit in the man, that said to Jesus, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Wow. He knew who Jesus was. He knew his deity, that he was the Son of God. And he begged him, "Torment me not. Don't send me to hell. Torment me not." You know, hell was created for the devil and his angels. "Torment me not." Jesus says, "Come out of him. Come out of this man, thou unclean spirit." And he did. I don't know what he looked like. But Jesus keeps on talking. He asks him, he says, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We. Now, you look it up. A legion is a unit of 6,000 Roman soldiers in the army. 6,000. We hear about Mary Magdalene. She had 7. This man's got 6,000 demons in him. No wonder he was running around cutting himself and crying out. And he begged Jesus. He said, "Don't send us away out of the country." Now, there just happened to be near there a great herd of swine. Now, that word swine is a kind of a sophisticated word. Where I grew up down in Texas, they called them hogs or pigs. A herd would be composed of shoats. You know what a shoat is? Yeah. And a sow and the boars, males and the females. For those of you that don't know what swine are, now you know. Now that's a bunch. These demons said to Jesus, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Now we got 6,000 demons out here, and we got 2,000 swine. Do a little arithmetic there, and you've got 3 demons for every one of those hogs. And so these 6,000 demons went into these 2,000 hogs. And that whole herd started running. Running down toward the Sea of Galilee. And apparently there was a cliff there, and they just went off of it, one right after the other. The whole herd drowned in the sea. Big old fat hogs floating all over the water. Fish food! Well, they had some big fish in that sea for a little while, I imagine. Those hogs had rather die than to live devil-possessed. Now, what happened to those evil spirits when those hogs committed hogicide and ran over the cliff? After the service is over, Brother Bryant will meet you back there at the door, and if you really want to know what happened to those evil spirits, he'll tell you about it. You got between now and then to figure out what happened to them. Now, all of these guys that were keeping the swine, they saw what happened. It reminds us of somebody else. A guy that's called in the Bible the prodigal son. And after he spent all of his daddy's money that he'd inherited, he got him a job keeping swine, just like these guys were. Well, they went into the city. They went throughout the country there telling everybody they met what Jesus had done. And the people, out of curiosity, came to see it. They looked over there in that water. They saw 2,000 hogs bobbing up and down on that water there. And they looked over there to where Jesus was, and they saw this man out of whom these devils had been cast, and he was sitting at Jesus' feet. Man, what a place to be, huh? He was clothed. He was in his right mind. His mental condition was healed. There'd be no more crying at night. His physical condition was healed. There would be no more cutting himself with stones. His social condition was healed. He would now go home and restore broken relationships. And his spiritual condition was healed. You know, no man's life is ever the same after he's been to Jesus.
Amen.
All right. All of these people heard about it, and here they came running. Something like this had never happened before. They were curious. What was their reaction when they came and saw with their very eyes what had happened here? Man, we're going to have a revival meeting. Jesus has come to visit us. We've heard about what he's been doing over in Judea and Samaria and Galilee on the other side of the sea. Now he's come to us. We're going to have a revival meeting. We're going to see all of our people get saved and believe in him and accept him as the Savior. Didn't work out that way, did it? Instead of rejoicing at this man's healing, instead of welcoming and worshiping Jesus Christ, the Son of God, instead of opening their hearts and their minds to this Savior, they ordered him to leave the country. Why did they reject Christ? I'm sure that you've heard it said that it was because Jesus hurt their economy. He killed all of those hogs, causing the price of pork to escalate. Price of hamburgers went up. You ever wonder why they called them hamburgers? We went down to Carl Jr.'s today and we had a hamburger. They've got some fancy ones down there now. The one I had, I had a big patty of beef on it. Not ham. Beef. But they did put 3 strips of bacon on it. That kind of flavored it up a little bit. But they still called it a hamburger. Now, there's no indication that this was the problem. There's been a lot of good preaching about people preferring pigs over people. But Scripture doesn't say that. Even Luke over in chapter 8 says that they were afraid. We read that here. Mark said it too. The whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. They were taken with great fear. They were more afraid of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, than they were a maniac out here that was possessed with 6,000 unclean spirits. What a pity. What a shame. What a contrast between the power of Satan and the power of the Savior. They were simply rejecting Christ. They were rejecting Christ. Jesus does not go where he's not invited.
Amen.
And he does not stay where he's not wanted. He didn't argue with them. He didn't stand on his constitutional right to stay here. He went down to the boat that he'd come across the Sea of Galilee on, and he got back into the ship to depart. No problem. This man out of whom he had cast these devils followed him to his boat. And he called him Lord. He said, Lord, can I come with you? I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you wherever you go. And the strangest thing, the Bible says Jesus suffered him not. He didn't let him go. He sent him away. He said to him, return to thine own house and to thy friends, and tell them how great things God hath done for you and has had compassion on you. And I think that our Lord Jesus Christ still wants us to do that. I believe it with all my heart. Now, the Bible doesn't say that this man got saved. doesn't say that Jesus forgave him all of his sins, but this drastic change in his life and the fact that Jesus had compassion on him tells the story. Sure, he was saved. We'll see him in glory one day. Well, why didn't Jesus want him to get in the boat with him and follow him as his disciple? Why did he tell him no? He would have had a powerful testimony. He could have went with Jesus and they could have stood out on the street corners and this man could say, I used to be devil possessed. I had 6,000 demons dwelling in me and Jesus came along and he healed me. What a testimony. That would have drawn a crowd. I want to give you a little bit of a personal testimony. When I went to seminary back in 1950, boy, that seems like a long time ago. I was in school with an old boy by the name of Woody Hibbs. And Woody Hibbs, before he got saved, he was a rounder. He had killed a man and was in an Arizona prison when he got saved. And somebody got to Woody and led him to Christ. And when his time was up, he gave his life to the Lord and came down to seminary and began to study the Bible. And he went to a little place there about 20 miles outside of Fort Worth called Kennedale. And old Woody Hibbs got down there and took his Bible and he started a church. And they had him preach. Every time I went to a fellowship meeting, he was always there to preach. And they always asked him to preach. And every time that he preached, he would tell about how mean he was before he got saved, how he killed a man and went to prison, and how the Lord reached down into that prison and lifted him up and gave him a new life in Jesus Christ, and how God put his hand on his life and called him to preach and all such as this. And everybody there, they loved to hear his story, and they'd say, Amen. And I sat out there just as jealous as I could be. I'd never been in prison. I'd never been in jail. Well, I never even got a whooping when I went to school. I didn't have any testimony like that I could give. And I remember how it used to make me feel when old Woody would get up there and tell everybody about that wild life that he lived before he got saved. Well, this man could have done the same thing, couldn't he? What a testimony he would have had. But Jesus said, no. Look at that personal commission that he gave him. Go and tell. He wanted him to be a witness of the power of Jesus Christ in his life to those people who had just rejected Jesus and said, get in your boat and depart our coast. Here's the sad part. There are five places in the Gospels that Jesus visited only one time. This is one of them. He would never go back to the land of the Gadarenes. This was the first and only and final time that they would ever see Jesus and witness his great power. So he sends this delivered man back into the midst of all of these people who had rejected him to testify of the delivering power of Jesus Christ. And this ex-maniac became the first Gentile missionary for Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what Jesus has done for you and me. Did you ever wonder why it was that Jesus didn't take us to heaven just as soon as we got saved? I have. I wondered about that. It seems like it would have been much better. But he didn't. Man, if that would have happened way back yonder when I was a 14-year-old boy and I walked down the aisle and made my public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and in my heart I accepted his forgiveness and I accepted him as my Savior in that old brush arbor, I would have just keeled over like that, you know, and died, and Jesus would have taken me to glory, and I'd have been in heaven all of these years up there with him, and my body would have been buried out there in the East Texas graveyard. But he didn't do that. He left me here. And he said, go and tell. And for 60 some odd years, I've been telling people about how wonderful Jesus is. Amen. What a great Savior he is. He didn't take me to heaven, but he will one of these days. He doesn't take us because he has a work for us to do. He has a purpose. We have a witness and a testimony to give of his great grace and his saving power. Perhaps our personal preference would be to go to be with Jesus. But he sends us out into the world as sheep among wolves. Into a world that hates us and hates Jesus. And rejection. And he sends us out to be a testimony and a witness of his power over sin and his power to save. And he's still turning maniacs into missionaries. He saves us and says, now I want you to go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to begin in Jerusalem and go into Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the world. And then, when your work here on earth is done and your job is completed, I'll call you home to be with me. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Just to look upon his face and tell the story, saved by grace. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Appreciate the attention that you gave to the preaching tonight. I didn't intend to preach so long, but sometimes, you know, you get to talking about Jesus and the things that he's done and can do. Woo! It's wonderful. Brother Bryant, would you dismiss us in our service, please?
Blessed Lord, we thank you that you revealed tonight to each and every one of us that we're here for a purpose. And that purpose is to win souls. Whether here on the mission field, places you direct and lead us to, help us to find that place where we can win souls. Go back to that place even where we once were and tell the same old story that Jesus saved.
Amen.
Thank you for these young people tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Bless our hearts.
Amen.
Thank you for this message. Thank you for this assembly. So bless the Lord this week. May we reach the lost for Christ. We'll give you the praise and thanks for it all. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight, and again, thank you all of our guests that came to sing for us.